AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago in southeastern Missouri. They're clearing the debris left by a tornado that killed at least five people today. CBS's Adriana Diaz reports from Glen Allen.
Keith and Shannon Lincoln rode out the storm in their bathroom.
I was just praying to God.
Yes.
Please, God, don't get the house because we were in the house.
Powerful EF2 tornado packing winds up to 130 miles per hour tore through this rural community overnight when most people were asleep. Governor Mike Parson saw the destruction firsthand.
It's going to be weeks upon months to be able to recover.
As crews clear roads blocked by broken tree limbs and debris, search and rescue teams are going door to door looking for survivors.
A grand jury report details decades of child sexual abuse in Baltimore's Roman Catholic Archdiocese. WTOP's Kate Ronan.
The nearly 500-page report released by Maryland's Attorney General offers sometimes agonizing detail on cases of child sexual abuse dating back 80 years and involving 600 victims, all at the hands of priests and personnel with the Archdiocese of Baltimore. Archbishop William Laurie offered an apology to survivors and said, while hard to imagine, quote, these evil acts did occur. Kate Ryan for CBS News, Washington.
Students around the country walked out of class today to demand tougher gun control laws.
Nationwide, the chants were heard from students saying, students in Massachusetts, Nevada, Denver, and everywhere in between.
You don't ever think it's possible until it, like, happens. It really makes you concerned if you're going to be next.
The demonstrations follow that deadly school shooting last week in Nashville. Linda Kenyon, CBS News.
A spokesman says former Vice President Mike Pence won't appeal a judge's order compelling him to testify in the Justice Department's Trump probe. It clears the way for Pence to appear before a federal grand jury. And as former federal prosecutor Scott Fredrickson explains, a lot of questions.
When the mob were attacking the Capitol, trying to stop the election, what did the president tell Vice President Pence, if anything, before, during, after?
Taiwan's president travels to California for a meeting with House Speaker Kevin McCarthy. The speaker praised the friendship between the two countries. China has protested U.S. engagement with Taiwan, but McCarthy responds,
the friendship between the people of Taiwan and America is a matter of profound importance to the free world, and it is critical to maintain economic freedom, peace, and regional stability.
Wall Street closes lower, the Dow up 80 points, NASDAQ down 129. This is CBS News.
Streamline how you hire with Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/...
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Mettner. Here's what you need to know. More than 1.7 million Wisconsinites turned out for yesterday's race for the state Supreme Court, breaking the previous record high for a spring election without a presidential primary. Liberal-backed Judge Janet Protasiewicz beat former Justice Dan Kelly 55-44%. This is Kelly's second election loss in a row after he was appointed to the Supreme Court by former Governor Scott Walker in 2016. Kelly lost to Jill Karofsky in 2020 by 11 points. Among the lawsuits that could come before the court, abortion rights, gerrymandered maps, Wisconsin's right-to-work law, and private school voucher programs. In Wisconsin's 8th State Senate District, Republican Dan Knotel defeating Jody Habish-Sinikin 50.9-49.1%. That's with 99% of the balance counted. I'm Jane Mettner. This is Civic Media News.
The Civic Media team would like to say congratulations. More than 200 Wisconsin businesses and nonprofits are receiving a free advertising campaign through our one-day $1 million advertising giveaway. If you missed out, our local sales team would still love to help you with your own campaign. Go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. Again, civicmedia.us and sponsorship. New and still growing. Advertise today with a Civic Media network of radio stations.
This is so good.
Why are you eating so much popcorn?
Well, I'm making a difference for Wisconsin schools, and I was able to easily shop online.
I mean, it does look yummy.
OMG, you've got to try this cheddar jalapeno.
Mmm, it is good.
Oh, and I ordered a bunch of other gourmet flavors, chocolate delight, cookies and cream, and even dill pickle, delivered to my door. And I help Wisconsin schools in the process. Go to the Wisconsin Popcorn Shop at civicmedia.us/shop. That's civicmedia.us/shop. And order now. The shop closes April 10th.
The Devil's Advocates.
Mitch McConnell did make a public statement, right? After he voted to acquit.
No, nothing says the president can't be prosecuted.
Set the example for your caucus.
Convince your caucus as to why the man is not fit to serve. How do you not use your leadership? Say, you guys, this is crazy. We can't do this, and here is exactly why. Because now of the two major political parties, one of them is under the thumb of a fascist insurrectionist.
Follow The Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com. The Shaw 101 FM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So to show you what kind of grip Donald Trump has on the Republican Party, had a huge win in Wisconsin on Tuesday. This Supreme Court seat, I mean, it was like a 10-point blowout win. And in a state like Wisconsin where it's right down the middle, a 10-point win is enormous. That's a whipping. If you lost by 10 points in an election in Wisconsin, you took a beating. You should probably go into your hole and never be seen again. But this former Supreme Court Justice, Dan Kelly, he wasn't going to take it and did not concede, refuses to concede. And you go, you lost. When did we become this country of, I'm not going to concede? No, you lost. Congratulate the other person. Move on to do it again down the road. Just crazy. But, you know, this is what happens when the guy at the very top is a whiner and a complainer. This is what you get. I'm here to share some thoughts on what happened in Wisconsin. And, well, we'll find out what's going on around the country. I've asked Carolyn Fidler to come talk with us. She's the political editorial director at Courier Newsroom. CourierNewsroom.com is the website. Carolyn, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me. And wow, yeah, Dan Kelly, I think he was one of those people who was horribly scarred as a child by that thing at the end of a Little League game where you have to like high five the winning team when you lost. Clearly that made him very bitter, and he's taking it out on Wisconsin or something.
No, I mean, the thing is, and that's an excellent way of putting it, because, you know, when I was a kid, you know, you went through and you shook hands at the end, and, you know, you'd come back and if you did something wrong, the coach would rail on you, because the last thing you wanted to be is a poor sport or a sore loser or any of those things. Now the country is run in many parts, and fortunately not in this part, by a bunch of losers and poor sports.
Yeah, I mean, even before Janet won, there were Wisconsin Republicans were talking about impeaching her just for being seated, which doesn't even happen until August. They're going to get up to all kinds of shenanigans before then, mark my words.
No, and that's the scary part, because the news that I keep hearing is what a huge win this was, and it was great. They flipped this Supreme Court, but there's that Senate seat that has given the Senate a supermajority in Wisconsin. There's a lot of shenanigans that can happen there.
Oh, yeah, big time. And Wisconsin Republicans have shown us time and time again over the last, I don't know, 13 years that they are not afraid to exercise their power in the most diabolical of ways.
I know. I was there in 2011. We spent 2 weeks sleeping on the floor there as Scott Walker was pulling his stunts. And look, I remember at the time you had all those people there who were going, look, you didn't run on this. This agenda was never put before us to vote on. And it's interesting to see where they've gone. So I guess the question I had, and I asked David Pepper this yesterday, does this Supreme Court seat give us hope that maybe some of the stuff that started in 2011 and just accelerated, do we see a turning back from that and making, you know, Wisconsin, I don't know, the forward state again?
I think so, but it's going to happen more slowly than anyone would care for it to. That's just the way the judicial system works, whether it's 4-3 conservative majority or 4-3 progressive majority. So I think that this court is in a position to undo a lot of harms, but I think it is going to take time. Barring retirements, there's going to be a while before the balance of the court is really in play again. But again, someone could retire and it could be in play again tomorrow. Who knows?
Or Republicans could go and do what they've said they're going to do and yes. rip one of them off the court. But I then understand that, you know, the governor would have the right to appoint someone, right?
So the reason why they might not do it, because it would look bad and not really accomplish much.
Yeah. Now, as I also understand, the gerrymandered state that it is, there are some new maps being possible. Thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. As soon as there's one group that as soon as Janet gets seated in August, they're going to file to have the redistricting case either file a new lawsuit or have it reconsidered or something. I'm not really clear on their specific strategy, but it would be nice to get those maps in front of a less conservative court for sure.
Now, this has, as I'm told from people on the ground in Wisconsin, this was really all about the abortion issue.
Oh, yeah.
So Republicans, you know, the dog caught the car, chewed through the bumper and into the backseat, and it's cost them big. I mean, a 10 point win is huge.
Yeah, like when's the last time someone won by that kind of margin outside of a gerrymandered legislative district in Wisconsin? I can't tell you.
Yeah, I can't either.
This was a statewide election, and a progressive who was nominated by Democrats just romped. It was, I mean, obviously I'm really glad she won, but I was not expecting this size of a win. And honestly, the GOP campaign felt really disjointed. I think Kelly's felt like he had a hard road to hoe from go. Yeah. But whatever.
We will see.
He lost twice. He's a two-time loser. I would feel bad about laughing at him, but he is also being a sore loser. So I think I get absolved of feeling bad about laughing.
I don't know. I think I got to do it. My coach would have smacked me upside the back of the head. But then again, I played for coaches that they didn't take any guff. You didn't spike the football.
No.
You didn't taunt anyone. I raised
my
fist
was
one time.
My dad was a high school football coach. Like I grew up with these rules, these standards, these codes of conduct. Don't be a jerk. It's real basic.
How hard is that?
Apparently, increasingly difficult for certain segments of the population.
Yeah. Oh, let's move over to Michigan because Michigan is the golden is my bright spot. They repealed the no rights at work stuff. They put prevailing wage back into law. And now you've got Whitmer, who's repealed this 1931 abortion ban. They're doing what they campaigned on, and they're doing it quickly. Kind of, you know, as I've been telling other states, this is how you do it. There's that song. This is how you do it. This is how you do it.
Montel Jordan, I believe.
Okay.
It's a banger from a really long time ago.
Well, this is how you do it. I mean, it comes up, it gets passed, it gets signed. Next, I think it's a good thing.
I hope that other Democrats who flip chambers in the years to come will use this as an example. I think that when Democrats flipped the legislature in Virginia just a few years back, I think that they were way too shy about getting things done. And I think it bit them in the butt a couple of years later.
No, and this is what I said when Virginia flipped. I'm going, this is what you should be doing. Do all of these things. Repeal the no rights at work stuff. Do this stuff. Do something. People want you to use the power that they gave you. And Democrats are always too timid.
I mean, another thing that the Michigan Democrats clearly have done is learn from the Republicans. Like when Republicans took over all these state legislatures after the 2010 elections, they immediately started ramming through all these measures to further marginalize groups and to keep themselves in power. And Democrats are historically a lot more timid when they win power, and Democrats need to stop. Michigan got the message, and I'm really happy about it.
I'm right there with you. Let's go over to Kansas. A little earlier, we talked about Kansas's fairly radical bathroom bill. Is Kansas a utopia where all the roads are paved, the schools are well funded, all kids are fed? There are no homeless. Is this the perfect state that they can spend this kind of time going after really just a handful of people? I mean, is this really that important?
I mean, when you are afraid of everything and one who doesn't reflect the world you want to see back at you. I guess it is. I don't understand how these people are willing to dedicate so much time and energy to just hate and bullying a group of people who never wronged them. And yet here we are.
No, it comes back to it. You know, I've been saying this for a while. The more that they can divide us on these kind of issues that shouldn't matter to anybody, does not matter to me one bit. Look, if I've had you know, people I've known who are transgender say, look, throughout your life, I guarantee there was someone in the bathroom with you who was transgender and you didn't know it. And you know what? I didn't know it and I didn't care.
Didn't give a damn.
Because you know where my eyes go in the bathroom? I look down, down, and then I look right at the wall. I don't care about anything
else.
There are rules. That's the rule. And I don't know what these people are doing in the bathrooms. What are these people doing? I think what it is, because, you know, they talk about all these drag shows that are corrupting our children, and yet you've got all these Republicans who are being indicted for being actual pedophiles and actual groomers. I think that just that their minds are in that place and their minds are so perverted that they can't help but think what they would do in those situations.
That's a scary but salient point. The thing that gets me is that, like, these are just like this one little bubble of nasty human beings where, like, most Americans are watching RuPaul's Drag Race. Like, drag is not controversial. And being transgender has not been this controversial ever. It shouldn't be. People have a right to just exist. And I don't understand why that is just so difficult.
No, I mean, this isn't hard. I mean,
not all humans, just these Republican humans.
In a country that prides itself on, you know, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, all people created equally. I mean,
unless you scare me, in which case, go away.
But you know, it's just my mind goes in this weird place. Now, look, I may think you're a freak show, but you, God bless you, do your thing, let your freak flag fly. I don't care, as long as it doesn't affect me. Don't care. When did we stop being that country?
I miss the small town I grew up in where everyone was, you know, pretty decent at minding their own business. It was a small town, so everyone was still in everyone's business. But because of that, privacy and minding one's own business was a virtue.
Yeah. No, my grandfather's motto was, don't worry about me, worry about yourself.
Yes.
I used to say it all the time. And maybe we should, I don't know, think that way again. Just a thought.
I think I'm a little worried about, like, going back to ways of thought since we're already kind of doing that in the worst possible ways. Like, I see where you're coming from. You're not wrong. But the general tenor of going back and looking back fondly at times past is it's getting really twisted into these horrible, horrible legislative shapes right now.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. How about returning to sane ideas? we won't make it time sensitive. We'll make it idea sensitive. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're with Carolyn Fidler. She's the political editorial director over at Courier Newsroom, couriernewsroom.com, the website. Check that out. They do incredible stuff all across the Midwest, maybe a state that you live in. Check the website, couriernewsroom.com. Want to get your thoughts on what's going on in North Carolina.
Ooh, yes. Bad things are about to go down in North Carolina because one Democrat decided that she was mad about something and she up and switched parties, giving Republicans supermajorities in both chambers of the legislature. They had it in just one before. And now Cooper can't get much done. He can't effectively veto anything unless Republicans happen to be divided on some issue, which North Carolina, they are pretty good at sticking together down there. They're a group of Republicans, much like Wisconsin.
Yep.
They're really good at exercising their power. And now, last time Republicans had this kind of control, these veto-proof majorities with a Democratic governor, at least the state Supreme Court wasn't Republican-controlled. That is no longer the case. There is nothing to hold these cats back in North Carolina anymore. We're about to see some very, very bad things come out of there.
Let the fun and entertainment begin, I guess, because there's a part of me that goes, you know, maybe as a working class, we have to suffer, you know, because people have asked me, you know, when do we become that generation like my grandparents' generation? And again, you know, there are all those problems But they did come together to fight for certain things. They did build the social safety net. They did, you know, fight for better wages, hours, conditions in the workplace. They did do some very progressive things. And I said, I think it's only after we have the next recession slash depression where people really need to start depending on each other again. And I fear that that's what it's going to take, some mass suffering.
That's upsetting. But I worry that you're not wrong. So as I pointed out, that today is First Contact Day, according to the movie Star Trek First Contact. 40 years from today, we meet the Vulcans. But as someone reminded me, in the interim, we have to go through World War III if we're sticking with Star Trek. I'm not.
I haven't seen it. So I'm not a Trekkie. Maybe someday. Any good news out there? I know you guys spend a lot of time in states across. Anything positive? I got to leave with something positive from our friends at Courier Newsroom. Anything that makes you go, this is good news. Something, please.
Well, we already talked about Michigan. So.
No, Michigan's great.
Yeah. Tomorrow is the biggest filing deadline in Virginia for candidates running for office this year. And this year, Democrats have a chance to flip back the state House of Delegates to a Democratic majority and hopefully keep the state Senate. So it is not, you know, perfect news, but it is news with hope. It is a place where people can take action this very year to help support things like keeping abortion legal in Virginia, because they still have a Republican governor, sort of, even though he's running for president. Don't get me started on that guy. But having Democrats in charge of at least one chamber, ideally two, will be a very good thing for Virginians.
There
and that is all happening this very November.
Outstanding. CareerNewsroom.com, the website. Carolyn Fidler, appreciate the time.
Thank you for having me.
Anytime. Make sure you check out the website, CareerNewsroom.com. Carolyn is the political editorial director there at Courier. Going to take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. Listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors, the American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
The phone lines are open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, as the Twitter turns, evidently the Twitter bird is gone. It's now the Doji dog or something. Which, interestingly enough, evidently, since Elon Musk made the, I guess it's the Dogecoin dog, the emblem on the Twitter site, evidently their stock prices have jumped, I guess, 30%. So I guess, doggy on Twitter is good for cryptocurrency. You figure it out. I'm not going to. But what Musk has done to Twitter, very interesting. And I remember, the whole reason he took over is free speech. Everyone was going to have free speech, except, we're going to make you pay to get the little coveted blue check mark so that your message can be heard, and we'll write our algorithms so that the people who pay get more speech. Yeah, it's kind of like the Supreme Court. Yeah, I guess American. But here's the interesting thing. Right away, they took away the New York Times' check mark. They haven't really taken many other people's away, but the New York Times, because you said that's propaganda, took that away. They got 55 million followers. Today, they added a warning to NPR's Twitter page. Now, understand, this is big stuff. They've added this state-affiliated media label. This is what they put on Russia's RT. This is what they put on the Chinese news stuff. They are now putting NPR in the world of dictator media. Think of what that's saying to the right wing. Now, again, you know, Elon's, you know, he's right down the middle, he says, and yet everything he does is extremely far right. But this is kind of a big deal. Because, again, remember, it was supposed to be all about free speech. It was supposed to be about, you know, letting the people decide. Now, understand, Republicans have wanted to destroy public radio for as long as I can remember. They've been trying to defund it for a while. In fact, just, I think, middle of March, they voted to, I think it was 228 to 192 to ban local public radio. Welcome to America, I guess. And the part that I find scary is when I put something out on Twitter now, it gets a lot of the same responses. And this is my problem with social media as a whole and the organizing that the right, and to be honest, the left does some of this too, not as well and not as well funded, but the right is masterful at this. They will attack you, 20, 30, 50, comments, attacking you with, and then gone. And it's this gang kind of mentality of coordinated messaging. And it's all negative. It's all it's all Johnny and a bunch of numbers. This is, again, now remember, Musk is saying we're making this free speech. We're making this the public square. We're making this where everyone has their First Amendment rights. And yet they're silencing a large number of people. They're deciding that the New York Times is propaganda and NPR is state-run media. And I argue using it for profit, because capitalists are going to capital. They are going to capitalist. I just find it interesting that no one's really picking up on it. Now, I've been quoted in a couple of Bloomberg articles here recently on this. And I said, look, I've had a blue check mark for years, and how it used to be is if someone had a blue check, there was you knew who they were, and they had to follow a certain set of rules, and they were somewhat trusted, especially when you were looking at big news organizations and big influencers, they took it seriously. What it's turned into now, and as the one article quoted me as saying, the blue check mark is now the red hat. It's now the red MAGA hat on Twitter. If you've now got the blue check mark, it's because you're probably paying the money to Musk. And a number of people have said, I'm broke. I can't afford it, but I'm going to own the libs. I'm going to support Musk because, we're going to own those Democrats. We're going to show them. And I just find it interesting that, this is the business model now. Playing to that kind of hatred that the right has capitalized on. It's the reason you see companies like Chick-fil-A taking the positions that they take. They know that if they put themselves out in a certain way, they're going to attract a certain crowd. It's the reason that Anheuser-Busch put out a six-pack with Dylan Mulvaney's face on it, because they're betting that there are more people out there who are not offended by trans people who buy their products because of it. This is the world that we've now gotten into. And Twitter's playing this game. I fear that it all goes bust at some point soon when people realize that they're spending money on something that is worthless. Because news organizations aren't going to be quoted. And then in fact, we've been talking about here on the show of doing a blue check segment. Today in blue check world. and finding that person who's paying the $8-$10, who's got six followers, who's saying dumb stuff. This is what's verified. This is what the Musks of the world want. And really all it's about, again, is keeping us pitted against each other, because we know that people on the internet are the worst versions of themselves. We know this is all about divide and conquer. And why? So they can rob us blind. And they're doing a heck of a job at that. Want to hear your thoughts? Email me, rick@therickSmithShow.com. Gonna take a quick break. When we come back, there's something going on in Tennessee that really.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
CBS News Brief. At least five people are dead after a tornado in southeastern Missouri. State Highway Patrol Sergeant Clark Parrott on hard-hit Glen Allen.
123 homes were observed. 76 had some type of damage. 13 were completely destroyed, but 34 of them didn't have any damage.
A Maryland Attorney General's report documents sexual abuse within the Archdiocese of Baltimore going back 80-plus years. Maryland AG Anthony Brown.
We have indicted one person as a result of this investigation. There are limits, regrettably, unfortunately, in the state of Maryland in terms of what the Attorney General can do.
House Speaker Kevin McCarthy and Taiwan's president meet in California, sparking blowback from China. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre.
We've been very clear. We have said there is no reason for Beijing to turn this transit into something that is used as a pretext to overreact.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Wisconsin voters are moving the state Supreme Court from the right to the left, choosing Janet Protasiewicz in Tuesday's election.
Our state is taking a step forward to a better and brighter future, where our rights and freedoms will be protected.
Protasiewicz beat Dan Kelly 55% to 45%. Kelly was defiant in his concession speech. He called Protasiewicz a serial liar. All three statewide referendum questions passed easily on Election Day, which means the Wisconsin Constitution will be amended to give judges more leeway when setting bail. The amendment has been in the works for years, but gained momentum after the Waukesha Christmas Parade attack. In sports, the Bucks beat Washington last night. The Brewers and Mets play today. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
This is so good.
Why are you eating so much popcorn?
Well, I'm making a difference for Wisconsin schools, and I was able to easily shop online.
I mean, it does look yummy.
OMG, you've got to try this cheddar jalapeno.
Mmm, it is good.
Oh, and I ordered a bunch of other gourmet flavors, chocolate delight, cookies and cream, and even dill pickle, delivered to my door. And I help Wisconsin schools in the process. Go to the Wisconsin Popcorn Shop at civicmedia.us/shop. That's civicmedia.us/shop. And order now. The shop closes April 10th.
Milwaukee. You have to check out Mobcraft Beer, the world's first crowdsourced brewery where they turn your ideas into beer. Stop in their downtown tap room to try flagships, seasonals, limited release crowdsourced brews that you won't find anywhere else, and more. Mobcraft also has a pizza kitchen making craft pies with the freshest ingredients. And enjoy their amazing tap room featuring over 20 constantly rotating draft lines, indoor and outdoor seating on their dog-friendly patio, and a killer view of the Milwaukee skyline. Mobcraft Beer, located in the heart of Walker's Point in Milwaukee. For more info, head to mobcraftbeer.com.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues, from the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So I'm looking at the news coming out of Nashville, and I got to tell you, you know, just it's all bad. I mean, the fact that you just had another mass shooting, six people have lost their lives, three children, 9 years old. I mean, I don't know how you get past that. But, you know, and you've got Republicans there who are saying, you know, we're not going to do anything about it. Admit it. Understand, not going to do anything. Nothing will get done. And when people showed up to the Capitol outraged, as they should be, at the fact that nothing is going to get done, led by their elected officials, well, Republicans didn't like it. Didn't like it at all. And now there's an expected vote tomorrow to expel three members of the House of Representatives, elected representatives, something that's only happened, I think, what, nine times over the 227 years in Tennessee's history. But hey, never let a good crisis go to waste, as the Republican friends tell me. That's why I've asked Dr. Katrina Green to come talk with us. She's an ER physician, also a contributor over at the Tennessee Lookout. TennesseeLookout.com is their website where she does some writing. Dr. Green, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you for having me.
So am I getting this right, that there's a vote to expel people because they had the audacity to speak out because of dead children? Am I getting this right?
You're getting it right. It's outrageous what they're doing. And like you said, it's only happened nine times in the entire history of our state, 227 something years. And those other instances were for very serious offenses, things like not giving, you know, citizenship to freed slaves, for sexual, you know, behavior that was not becoming of a sitting legislator, for bribery. And I forget what the other instance was, but it wasn't, you know, for exercising their constitutional right to free speech. This is just, I'm beyond outraged.
Now, it's all because one of the legislators, as I understand it, and help me here, because I'm still trying to figure it out, because one of the legislators used a bullhorn or something, and that's somehow causing dishonor on the chamber. Is this the level of thinking?
So there apparently are procedural rules of decorum that they're supposed to follow, and their mics kept getting shut off because they weren't staying on the bill all day long when, you know, there's thousands of us outside. I was one of the protesters outside the Capitol that day. And so they were trying to give a voice to those on the outside, on the inside, but their mics kept getting cut off. So finally, the three of them discussed, what are we going to do about this? And they decided to, they call it taking the well. And so they got up between bills. They weren't actively discussing any bills. They weren't disrupting any active legislation. And they went up there with a sign that said, protect kids, not guns, something like that. And one of them had a bullhorn, and they got up to speak, and they, you know, there were people in the gallery, so they were trying to lead the gallery in a chant. And that their mic got cut off within 15 seconds is what I was told by one of the legislators there. So it was only 15 seconds that they were in session before Speaker Sexton took them out of session, went into recess. So 15 seconds of disruption, and they're going to be expelled from the legislature for it.
Even if they spent all day disrupting it, this is one of those things where, you know what, I'm of the mindset, there are three dead children. There are three families who their nine-year-olds are being buried. I'm sorry if it's a little uncomfortable for you to hear the people speak to you. I'm sorry. I have no sympathy.
Yeah, I don't either. And I don't know what it's going to take for them to wake up on the other side. Like you said, they're refusing to vote on any gun bills except the ones that make things worse. They passed a bill out of committee today that would let teachers be armed in the schools. I mean, that's just beyond the worst idea ever. I don't know if you know how kids are in school. I've got friends who are teachers, and one of them told me this past week, she's like, yeah, when I turn my back to write on the chalkboard or, you know, dry erase board, whatever board they have these days, so the kids are stealing candy out of my desk. One of those little kids is going to steal a teacher's gun out of the desk. So, you know, it's the discourse has gotten so crazy here around guns. They are unwilling to hear any reasonable measures that we advocate for, things like red flag laws that would you know, take the guns out of the hands of people, like, you know, the person in crisis last Monday that shot and killed a bunch of people while they were actively suicidal. And domestic abusers who, you know, we know they have a track record of doing things like this too. They refuse to hear any kind of assault weapons ban. I don't know if you saw Representative Lamberth made the news because he had the audacity to come into a hallway of children having a sit-in and ask them what kind of gun they want to be shot with. So that's what we're dealing with down here. And so I totally support my representative is Justin Jones. I live in his district and I support what he did. I feel like it needs to be done. They need to be getting in these folks' faces because they're not listening to reasonable discourse here.
No, and this whole issue is clouded by insanity and money. I mean, it really is a money issue. And I've said in the past that I think maybe it's time we start getting big billboards of these children that have been slaughtered. Maybe we have to see what these weapons are doing. Look, I'm not a gun grabber by any stretch of the imagination. I've got a gun within arm's reach. But I hear people tell me stories of being in these situations where there's no hope. Somebody walks in with an AR-15 with a 100-round clip. Good luck, because there's no help for you. And there's no common sense on this. And when I hear Republican Representative Burchard, I guess his name is, say we're not going to do anything, I get angry.
Yeah, I was livid when I heard that. I wanted to go punch something. You know, I'm a nonviolent person, but I think I might have to take up kickboxing because of everything that was going on down here. But, you know, I was telling one of the legislative aides today up on the Hill after a disturbing discussion with one of the Republicans that maybe what we need to do is what Emmett Till's mother did, have open caskets of these children's shattered bodies so the world can see what these guns do. You know, we're not being hysterical when we say a child cannot survive an injury from an AR-15. Their organs are just too close together. Everything's too compact. They bleed out before they can even get to the hospital. And that's what happened last Monday. The doctors at Vanderbilt University, our level one trauma center here in town, they stood ready. They got the team assembled. They had all the ORs ready to go. They were on it, but the children were dead by the time they got to the hospital. So, you know, I'm an emergency physician. A lot of times there's nothing I can do. By the time the patient gets to me, if they have lost their pulse from a bullet wound, we're not going to get them back. We try everything. We crack chests open. We put tubes in lungs and in throats, and we transfuse units and units of precious blood. That's a scarce resource, right? And it just all ends up on the floor and on our shoes.
Listen to the Rick Smith Show here with Dr. Katrina Green. She's an emergency physician, also a contributor at the Tennessee Lookout, TennesseeLookout.com. Now, as a ER physician, you see this stuff, don't you?
I do. And that's part of the reason why I got involved in advocacy, and you can call it activism, whatever you want to call it. But, part of our job as physicians is to prevent injuries in the first place. That's why, you know, doctors led the way for seat belts in cars and airbags and people to wear helmets when they're riding their bikes and on the ski slopes and things like that. And so it's a natural segue to want to prevent these gun injuries. I used to work at a level two trauma center here in town, and I saw way too many teenagers coming in dead from bullet wounds, and it just got to me. And so it led me to the path that I'm on, where I'm up there talking to legislators, I'm writing these op-eds, I'm speaking to you about the importance of gun safety. I don't want to take guns away from law-abiding citizens. What I want is for law-abiding citizens to store their guns safely away from the hands of children and teenagers that will use them, you know, accidentally. I mean, we see accidental shootings a lot. And the other thing is, suicidal people do not need a gun in their home, because I have seen way too many suicides from gun, and they almost always die. And if someone is suicidal and they don't have access to a gun, a lot of times they get to me and I can save them. I have a good friend who is alive right now, and I really think if there had been a gun in their home, I would not have that friend here today.
No, I mean, and that statistic bears out. I mean, you see that the numbers are just staggering. The number of people who are killed because of a gun, and a lot of times at their own hands. But what do you say to the person who goes, you know, look, you know, if you have these red flag laws, if you have these kind of things, you're just going to stigmatize mental illness and people aren't going to get help. What's the argument there?
I mean, we need to take away the stigma around mental health, for one, and we also need to fund it better. Here in Tennessee, our mental health care system is in shambles, just like the rest of our healthcare system. We are one of the states that refused to expand Medicaid. And so I see the results of that in my emergency department every day. I see patients who have foregone healthcare until it's, you know, so far gone that, you know, cancer is in the late stages, you know, heart failure is in the late stages, their kidneys have failed and they need to be on dialysis, things like that, because they never got preventative care because they didn't have money to do that, because they don't have health care. Well, the same is said for mental health care access. If you don't have health care insurance, there is pretty much no hope of you getting help for your mental health crises other than coming to the emergency department. And our system is so strapped that we have had patients sitting in our emergency department for days and days. I think the record that I've seen is up to a week in the emergency department waiting for a bed at our state-funded psychiatric hospital to get their mental health care treatment. So we need to fund mental health care, for one, and take away the stigma. You know, we've been through a pandemic, right? It's been a stressful time for so many people. I have had more anxiety in the past few years and probably depression too than I ever have. And it's been a roller coaster. We've all been on it together. It's natural to have those feelings. And we all need to be okay with reaching out and getting help for those feelings.
No, I'm right there with you. Here's my problem with this whole situation. It seems like, you know, on the extremes on either side, everyone's pointing fingers, but nobody wants to move on a solution. And I look at my Republican friends who are saying, you know, we need to put armed guards at every school. Well, I don't see them doing that. This idea that you're just going to hand out more guns to teachers is really a stupid idea, especially considering you're not going to let them choose their own books, but they can have a gun, which is just dumb. But, you know, if you do believe that we need to harden doors and we need to make armed camps, I don't even see them allocating the funding for that. Nobody's talking about going door to door and stealing people's guns. That's not even on the table. So these kind of competing extremes end up fighting us and we never get anything done. So where do you see a way forward? And what are you advocating for as a way forward?
I mean, I talk to gun owners very frequently. Some of them are my close friends. You know, my brother-in-law is an avid, gun enthusiast and shoots regularly at my in-laws' house. And I have no problem with that. What I want is I want common sense gun laws. I don't think permitless carry here in Tennessee has done us any good. I don't think letting people store their gun just laying on the seat of their car has done anyone any good. So I think red flag laws are a good idea, especially if they are enforced. You know, the last three shooters here in Tennessee who've committed these mass shootings were all people that were under treatment, apparently, for mental illness. So, you know, call a spade, like, take those guns away from those folks, at least until they're approved by a psychiatrist. I would go a step further and say, if you want to purchase a gun in the first place, maybe go through a mental health screening. I think that would be a good place to start. But the safe storage laws to make sure that children don't accidentally find these weapons and use them, you know, accidentally on themselves or their friends, or, you know, God forbid, bring them into school. We've seen that a lot too. And I think, you know, going through some safety training as part of a permit process, make sure someone knows how to safely use a gun. Right now in Tennessee, it's kind of the wild, wild west. Anyone can just go get a gun. They're about to lower the age of that permitless carry to 18. So 18-year-olds are going to be able to go to the store and not have to go through any safety training or permit process and just carry guns around on our streets. And yeah, I think that's a bad idea.
Yeah, nothing bad could happen there. I don't see anything bad happening there. No, not at all.
Yeah. I mean, humans are hot-headed, irrational beings, and we're not mature enough, I think, at 18 to be able to carry a weapon that can kill.
Well, look, you hear this all the time. You know, guns don't kill people. People do. But the gun helps.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And you see this, and let me finish with this, because, you know, I want people to get an understanding of what these especially these high velocity rounds that come out of these assault weapons. You know, what does it do to the human body? What kind of damage are you looking at when you're that doctor and you're standing over that person who's been hit? What are you looking for? What are you seeing?
I mean, I'm looking for where the bullet has entered and has it exited the body, so I can get an idea of what organs the bullet could possibly have damaged. So if it's going through the chest, I'm worried about the patient's lungs. I'm worried about the major blood vessels and the heart. I'm worried about their airway. Are they able to breathe? Do I need to put them on a ventilator and breathe for them? But really the main issue with these bullets from an AR-15 is that it's not just going through and through. It's basically a shock wave that expands throughout the body as it passes through. And that shock wave, it's almost like a bomb going off in the body. And so we see just horrific damage to anything that bullet gets close to. So if it goes through your liver, you know, you're a goner. If it goes through your spleen, you're a goner. If it goes through your heart, there's nothing we can do to repair that. I mean, we can try. We can pump you full of blood. You know, the trauma surgeon's going to crack your chest and squeeze on your heart with their bare hands in the hopes that we can get it restarted and get you to the operating room and take your spleen and liver out, you know, and fix whatever we can. But these people, they just bleed out on the table, usually in the emergency department, before we can save them.
And in other words, the bullet does exactly what it's designed to do. The weapon does exactly what it's supposed to do.
Maximum damage. That's what it's designed for. It's a military weapon designed for maximum damage.
I wish you the best. I hope you'll keep fighting. I'm interested to see what happens tomorrow in Nashville. I'm literally without words at how far this could go and how incredibly stupid this is. But I'd love to hear from you again as this continues. If you'd come back and share some thoughts with us.
Definitely. We'd love to. Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much, Dr. Katrina Green. Make sure you check out the website, TennesseeLookout.com. This is just crazy. I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@therickssmithshow.com, or give us a call, 1-866-416-RICK, 1-866-416-7425. This is The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk. Think Tank approved corporate news and commentary? Are you tired of CEOs telling you what to think, who to hate, and who to vote for? Well, welcome to the Rick Smith Show. We don't take orders from some boardroom, and we don't do focus groups or talking points. We don't work for them, and we never will. I'm Rick Smith, and I work for you. Join us daily at thericksmithshow.com and download the podcast and never miss a minute. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1954. It began what some have called the longest major strike in U.S. labor history. The strike was against Kohler, the Wisconsin-based manufacturer of bathroom fixtures. 2 years before the strike, the workers had formed Local 833 as part of the United Auto Workers. They wanted the right to join the union of their choice, improved wages, and recognition of seniority. When the company refused to bargain in good faith, the members voted to strike. On the first day of the strike, 3,000 workers marched around the plant. Few could have imagined when they walked off the job that many of them would not return for 6 years or even longer. The Kohler Company remained unwilling to negotiate. As the days turned to weeks, then into months, sometimes violence broke out between the scabs and the strikers. But what sustained the strikers was the strong sense of solidarity and community they built together. One pamphlet produced by the union had a picture of a baby on the cover. Above the baby was written, "All my life, my daddy's been on strike to make my future better." Finally, in 1960, the National Labor Relations Board ruled that the company had not followed bargaining laws. It ordered the company to let 1,400 striking workers return to work and to pay back wages. Another 6 years would pass before the issue of payment would be resolved. But in the end, the company had to pay $3 million in back pay and another $1.5 million in pension payments. At the 60-year commemoration of the strike, Local 833 President Dave Boscher declared, "I stand here in awe of the sacrifices of these people." Labor History in 2 brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show. For more information, go to laborhistoryin2.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on the Twitters at laborhistoryin2. Got an email with a little ditty in it. Yeah, Trump went down to Georgia. He was looking for votes to steal. He was way behind. He was in a bind because he was way behind and willing to make a deal. And looking to make Brad Raffensperger squeal. That's really what it was about. And look, you know, what's going to happen, I think, in Georgia? They're going to bring a case and we're going to hear those perfect phone calls. Because isn't it amazing? You listen to the grievance speeches, and it's all about everything was the most perfect. It was the best. And this is where, you know, I get the fives. I have people who are, they bought the hat. They're on cult Trump and they're never moving. But for everybody else, cause look, during the Trump years, there were things I thought he did well. There were things I thought, you know, only he could have done. Renegotiating NAFTA, and getting some of the decent things that were in there, you know, I don't think either Democrats or Republicans would have gotten through. The fact that he was willing to open it up and listen to Democrats and listen to labor to get some good labor protections in there, yeah, that was about time. Get rid of the tribunals. I give him credit for that. The tariffs on China, give him credit for that. I wish he would have had a bigger plan. I wish there had been more there, but there wasn't. And all we then got for the rest of his term was chaos. And grievance. It's like he was every day, you know, hosting a right-wing talk radio show. It was all about keeping people engaged in his social media and keeping people riled up. And the fact that everything he's ever touched, it's like Dear Leader. You know, if you remember the Kim Jong-il stuff, you know, he went bowling for the first time in his life, had a 300 game, went golfing the first time in his life, 18 holes in one. You know, it's that kind of hero worship mentality that you see around the real faithful. Now, for everybody else, the rest of us, I have to believe that we believe in accountability, in responsibility. You know, the gun issue is another perfect example of this. You know, I grew up during an era where you saw somebody with a gun in my neighborhood, somebody was going to die. I live in a neighborhood now where you see somebody with a gun, they're probably going over the free gun range. But the one thing that people preached back then was responsibility. The NRA was in favor of background checks back then. Not today. But this idea that individuals be held responsible. There's a case in Florida, the grandmother who got shot by her 2 or 3 year old granddaughter, because she just flung the gun over the back of the seat that's hanging right there in front of the kid. There are tons of these stories. The rocket scientist who, left her purse in the seat with her 2 year old. The 2 year old took the gun out and shot her in a Walmart or in the supermarket. There are tons of these stories, and you know the accountability, the responsibility, and the education process. That's what we should be talking about. But this blind defiance, how dare you inconvenience me? How dare you have the audacity to make sure that people aren't struggling? And you get it from the left too, especially on the mental health stuff. Look, I don't want people who are struggling to be able to have access to a firearm. I don't want people to be able to go and, you know, I'm hearing voices today. I'm going to go get something. Because you can. It's that easy. And as I said, I'm not a gun grabber, but there's basic common sense. And the assault weapons, I'm sorry, doesn't make a lot of sense to me. When you hear what these weapons are made to do, these are weapons of war. It's what they're meant for. And you know, I have my friends who are like, no, this is, we need this to water the tree of liberty with the blood of tyrants and patriots and that nonsense. And you go, you don't have the same weaponry as the military because we already have gun control in this country. And virtually everybody I've ever met agrees with gun control. The question is where you draw the line. So these people who say, well, never gun control. Nonsense. We've already got it. It's a matter of where we draw the line. And when you talk to individuals, you get a lot more done, which is why I think we need to be having these individual conversations with each other. We need to be talking about this and putting aside the heated rhetoric. There's no one on the left seriously going to come and knock on your door and steal your gun. Not going to happen. Anyway, I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@therickssmithshow.com. If you miss any portion of the program, make sure you grab the podcast. Wherever you find your favorite podcast, you'll find ours. Thanks so much for being here. We'll see you back here next time.
You've been listening to The Rick Smith Show. Email Rick.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.